Just pray that you would give us truly eyes to see and ears to hear you and hearts that are open to you. And we pray that now in Jesus' name. Amen. This mic may be a little hot. As you know, I can get kind of loud. Or at least that's what my wife says. Father Carl asked me to preach today. He had to go out of town, and so we need to keep him lifted up in prayer. And I'm probably not nearly as prepared as I should be for this, but hopefully God will speak something to you from the things that he's put on my heart to share with you today. It wasn't really hard when I looked at the scriptures and especially reading 1 Corinthians 13 and seeing the richness in that and all the scriptures that we had for our readings today. But it wasn't that hard for me to go someplace with this. And you know, I joke around to a lot of people, and it's only half joking, that I've studied all the theology that I'm going to ever study. I've struggled and wrestled with everything that I'm going to do. I'm not going to do it anymore.
Amen.
And so I say, and it's okay if you love that kind of thing and you want to argue with people and all that, but I'm just not doing it anymore. And so I joke and say, well, all I read now is comic books, but that's not the truth. That's really just making a point. I love to read the Word of God and love to read things that other Christians write and things like that. But my theology really just does boil down. It boils down to something. And this is what I tell people, that God can do anything he wants. Anything. Anything he wants. That comes from Psalm 115. And it's other places also, but this is the scripture that solidifies that in my heart. Psalm 115 verse 1 says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. Because of your loving kindness, because of your truth." Now, the first part of that, "Not unto us, O Lord, not to us." We sing that song. Actually, that is the actual verse that is like the sacred verse for the entire CEC. We sing that song many times. Non nobis domini, non nobis domini. Not unto us, O Lord. But then it says in verse 2, "Why should the nations say, where now is their God?" And then here's the verse that I quote to people. "But our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases." Then there's another part to my theology. And it's so great when you can boil things down to just two things. He can do whatever he pleases. Whatever his pleasure is to do, he can do that. And his pleasure is to love you and me. That's his pleasure. That's what he wants to do. He can do anything, but that's what he wants to do. That's where his heart is overflowing. The Lord has already... He has already released the floodgates of his love throughout the whole earth. So again, it wasn't too hard to come up with some of this looking at 1 Corinthians 13. So I'm going to kind of follow my pastor, Father Carl, in the kind of the way he does sermons, in saying, in using an alliteration. His love is relentless. His love is rewarding, and his love is redemptive. And those are the three things that I want to talk about. His love is relentless. Relentless. His love is rewarding, and his love is redemptive. Now, it's more than that, because God is love. But this is what I want to talk about. And this would be a three-part sermon if I was going to be here for 3 weeks. But we're going to do it today, and we're going to do it as fast as we can, but I want God to speak to you today from this, because I want you to hear, and I think we really heard already from some people, and Rick spoke, and some others, I think, that said something. Who was it said about Revelation? Okay, so we've already heard some from the Lord, but I want us to hear a little bit more. C.S. Lewis said, "But the great thing to remember is that though our feelings come and go, his love for us does not. It is not wearied by our sins or our indifference, and therefore it is quite relentless in its determination that we shall be cured of those sins at whatever cost to us, at whatever cost to him." That's the essence of his love. Now, the thing about love, when I talk about this, that God loves us, the thing about love is we have to really get what love is. That love is not just saying, hey, everything's okay, everything is good, I know you're having an affair, and I'm so thankful and happy for you, or those kind of things. That's not love. It's not the way we would love our own children. Love has a lot of components, and I'm certainly not going to be able to be exhaustive with that. But I want to share, first of all, how relentless his love is for you in the midst of your sin. In Psalm 18, and this is actually, it's funny because this is both Father Carl and I, this is both of us, this is probably one of our favorite psalms. "He made darkness his covering and his canopy around him. Thick clouds dark with water." Have you ever been in darkness in your life? Before you were a Christian? After you were a Christian? Yes. Yeah, I'll answer for you. We've had dark times, places where it's dark. "But out of the brightness before him, hailstones and coals of fire broke through his clouds. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire, and he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he flashed forth lightnings and routed them." Now, when you're in darkness, do you ever feel like maybe you need some help to break free, to be set free? You need to understand that his love for you is relentless, no matter what situation you're in, no matter what station you're in, no matter how things look, and no matter how dark it feels, you can always depend that he is there, and his love for you is relentless. Amen. "And then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent from on high, and he took me, and he drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity." How bad is it when everything is going bad already? Nothing could be going worse. And then all of a sudden it gets worse when you don't think it could be worse. "They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delights in me." Hallelujah. He didn't do it because you loved him so much, because our feelings go back and forth. We wake up and we want to say, "God, we love you. We love you with everything in our being." And we even sometimes say the words, but sometimes the feelings aren't there and it's just not real, and we can't make it work. We can't just get it going in us, and we just say it. But his love is never like that. He doesn't struggle with how he feels about you. He doesn't struggle with how much he loves you. He doesn't struggle with what he's going to do in your life. He doesn't struggle with making circumstances and creating circumstances so you will know him more, so you can love him more, and so you can respond more to his love. He doesn't struggle with that. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He delights in you. So his love is relentless. never stops. There's nothing that can stop him. And that's what he's saying there in Psalm 18. It says the same thing in 2 Samuel. He delights in you. Man, that'll get you through a lot. And this is what I hope. I'm hoping that whatever can be said this morning, that it'll get you through a lot, through whatever it is. We pray for you. This morning we were praying as people were coming to church. You know, we have no idea what's been going on in your life. Some of you we do. Some of you we've known. We know what Richard and Carol are going through. We know that some of you others have been through some struggles. But, you know, a lot of people just come in. And the things that we don't know what's going on. We don't know how hard it's been for you this week or yesterday or today or even this morning. We don't know those things. But God knows. There is nothing that's hidden from Him. He knows what's wrong. He knows what's going on. And we pray that God would just bring that up. Bring it up and let Him heal. Let Him come and heal you today. No matter what it is. Because that's what His love is all about. And then the next thing is that His passion and determination to love is rewarding. It's rewarding. Jeremiah 17 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. And he is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." You know, when I was reading that, I thought about Africa. My brothers in Africa. I was just at the House of Bishops a couple of weeks ago. Or not the House of Bishops, the Patriarch's Council, where we have bishops that come from all over the world, and four of the African bishops came, and I knew them all. I have known them. Some of them I met in Africa, and some in different places. And I thought about them when I was reading this, you know, because their circumstances aren't like ours. And I remember going to Bishop Charles was there in. He's from Tanzania. He was at the Patriarch's Council, and actually Father Don will be seeing him. I remember going to his church. And you know, we think things are hard. When we get like a pothole in the road, we think that's a pretty big deal, and somebody better come and fix it now. When you go to Bishop Charles's church, first thing when you start getting close, is there's a road, and and it looks like literally when you go up that road, and it's really narrow, you know, really narrow. You look and you go, there's no way you can get from here to that point where that church is, about a half a mile down the road. There's no way you can get there without some kind of a military vehicle. There are holes that will Patty and I both have little, we call them Korean go-karts, a Hyundai and a Kia. Either one of our cars would fall right down in the hole. And so you have to drive around, and then you're uphill, and then there's these big boulders, that are 15, 20 feet high and that big around or more, huge. And you're going in between, you're going like, this is not something that a regular car can get to. And then you get there and you get to the church, and it's just this beautiful church building. Unbelievably beautiful. And listen, a lot of church buildings in Africa are not that beautiful. And there are hundreds of people. They're packed inside the church. They're hanging outside on the windows. They're up on top of the rocks. They've walked for miles to be at church, to worship God. And they're already beginning to start the worship inside the church. And you're going like, how can these people in the midst of this poverty, in the midst of this distressing, you know, just depressing place at times, how can they be so joyful in the Lord? It's because they have experienced the love of God, and they know that there is a rewarding experience in loving him, in trusting in his love, and in responding to his love. And they desire to respond to his love. And this is the same church. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But at this church, they had these boulders. They're so huge. They're as high as the ceiling. And I said, well, this whole place was, you know, it looks like it was surrounded by these boulders. And so they told me, Bishop Charles begins to tell me the story of the church. He said, yes, it was like that. All these boulders, they were here also where the church is. He said, but we had to go to these boulders for months and months. And we lit fires underneath them until they turned bright red from the fires and hot. And then they got hammers, like not hammers like we have, not even tools like we have, but homemade hammers and tools. And they began to break those rocks. And they broke those rocks one by one until they cleared off a place to put this beautiful church. And it's just in response to God, to God's love. And then we get into the church. And this is the place where God spoke to me. And listen, if I tell you God has spoken to me, he really, well, I can't say he doesn't speak to me a lot, but I don't listen all the time. I'm hard-headed. But God spoke to me there. And this is where, when I saw the people of this church, Bishop Charles has all of his people, every single person in the church, when they do the offering, gives something. And they're the poorest people probably in the earth. Tanzania is one of the poorest countries anywhere. But all of his people, even the little children, they come and they give something. And if they don't have anything to give, they just touch the baskets and say, Lord, I give you me, myself. And this is where the Lord spoke to me and said, we're supposed to do that here. Anybody remember that? Everybody, and listen, we spoke at the Rector's Council last week, and I said, do you feel like the Lord has withdrawn that word from us? And everybody said, no, there's no way. So I want to say it to you again. When we take the offering, except if you're a visitor, everybody should give something. And if you have nothing to give, just touch the offering plate and say, God, I give you myself. And God will bless you for that. God has blessed that church more than any of the other churches I've been to in Africa. God has blessed that church. And they've prospered in the midst of this horrible experience. And this, it's not something I learned from a Word of Faith teacher. The Lord said, do that. You go home and do that. So I was so grateful to see Bishop Charles a couple weeks ago and confirm that this is something we're supposed to continue to do. And I believe that. And I believe God will bless you. I remember we had testimonies after we began doing it. And God had done financial miracles with people. And look, I believe that. I believe when you sow, you will reap. And I believe that God loves a cheerful giver. So I'm encouraging you. Don't let that blessing be stolen from you. That's the way God wants to bless you. It's the way he wants to bless you. And then, you know, we had our church service there for an hour and a half. Oh, wait. It was 7 hours. And when we got done, it was like we hadn't been there 5 minutes. But there was something in the midst of this place where they have every reason in the world to not respond to the love of God. Every reason to question God. Why do I have to live in this country? Why couldn't I have been born somewhere else? Why couldn't I be wealthy? Why don't I have the things that everybody else has? They could do everything in the world to question God, but they said, no, we're going to come every time we get a chance, and we're going to worship God with everything in our being because we know his love for us is relentless and his love is rewarding. There's a song. And I just love this song. Well, I'll tell you about that in the next section. I want to go back to Psalm 115, toward the end of Psalm 115. Just continuing on this of the rewards of God's love. Verse 13, he said, he will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man. This goes back to what Gene was saying. This the voice, you know, Gene, I know that we said that when that happens in Revelation, but it'd be a good time for us to start practicing now and start sounding like Jesus now as the body of Christ all over the world. Amen? I think it's a good thing. I think we're brought here to practice those things that we'll be doing in heaven. Or at least that's part of the reason. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Amen. It's a response to the love of God. Response to the blessing of God. Response to his relentless love for us. And then the last thing, that his passion and determination to love is redemptive. It's redemptive. Now I'm going to tell you about the song. There's a song, and I think it's written by a guy named, what is John Mark McMillan? Is that the guy's name? Yeah. He's a young guy and writes some great young songs. The youth love these people. Another band does it that I like, another group. But part of the words of the song, the song is called He Loves Us. And actually, that's the name of my sermon today, though I don't usually have names, but it says the words of the song, and we are his portion, and he is our prize. Drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. Whoo! We're sinking in the grace and the love and the mercy and the forgiveness and the peace and the power and the glory of God. We're sinking in it. God can't release any more love than he's released into our lives. He can't release any more love than he's already released in the earth. We're sinking in it. Now what we have to do is become those receptacles and make sure that we're always a receptacle and a vessel of the grace of God so that we don't plug it up, because we can't really plug it up in the sense that we can't stop it. We can just stop ourselves from being a vessel of God's grace. We can, you know, there was a story the other day, and I don't mean to disparage this person. I don't know her. I don't know who she is, but she's a pastor. And she was out at a restaurant and eating lunch. And she got the bill, and she had a group of people with her. And when she got the bill back, you know, it had there 18% for is added to your bill for large parties. And she wrote on that ticket for that young waitress, she wrote, "Why should I give you 18%? I only give God 10%. Or I'm only required to give God 10%. Well, she just, you know, and it ended up this young waitress was fired from her job because she had posted that. She was hurt by it, posted it on her Facebook page, and the restaurant fired her. That pastor, because you know that we can go again back to 1 Corinthians 13, love is not arrogant. Love is not arrogant. She stopped, and I'm sure that this woman is a vessel of God's grace, you know, most of her life. But that day, she plugged that up. And she didn't show the love of God to this young girl. And the girl was fired. But you know what? I believe that God has got grace coming from some other outlet, somewhere for her. That girl will get a job, and she'll understand the love of God and the ministry of God and the ministry of his love and power. Amen? But we can do that. I do it. We've all done it. But it's not what we want. And this is something that we can look forward to in Lent. Again, Lent is not a season. It's not a time where we just become dark and dark. And it's really just it's a time when we can acknowledge those things in us, in our lives, that can make the light come brighter and brighter. And we'll see it again. And springtime comes, and the days we get longer, Lent, they become lengthened, is where the word comes from. And we can see the grace of God more, and people can see it more in us. And we can feel, as we let God cleanse us, as we acknowledge those things in our life that are hindering the light of God, we can see God move more and more, more and more. And the rest of that verse in that song says, so heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest, and I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way he loves us. He loves us. And this is the same song we were singing out in front of the Supreme Court, when all the people were out there mocking and yelling at us and screaming, and we were just singing this song, and we turned to them and changed the words of the song and said, he loves you. He loves you just like he loved me in the midst of my sin. Amen? Amen. And then the last thing is that God's passion and determination to love is redemptive. And I just want to read. It is for discipline, from Hebrews. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good. This is a part of love. This is why we can't just say love is just not when you're feeling good. It's not what makes you feel good. Love a lot of times can make you feel pretty bad. Because you don't want to accept, or we don't want to accept, that God is disciplining us. And he can do that through circumstances. He may speak to us from another person. He may speak to us in many different ways. But sometimes when we get to that place, can we do this? Can we just cry out and say, God, in the midst of this time, I don't like what you're saying to me. I don't like how my life is right now. I don't like the circumstances going on. It doesn't seem right to me. You probably don't love me. Instead of saying that, can we say, God, I know you love me and it's relentless. I know you've got a reward for me in this. What are you saying to me in the midst of this hard and difficult time? But later it says, for the moment all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Somebody say amen. Amen. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Amen. Amen. And I'll just close with this verse, and we all know it, for I am convinced. Say, I am convinced. I am convinced. Say it again. I am convinced. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's just the truth. It's what God says. And it's what we all need. He loves us. He loves you. He can do anything he wants. He doesn't have to love you. If you're like me, you're not really lovable. But he loves you anyway. And he'll do anything for you. He'll go to any height. He'll go to any depth. He'll go deep in your heart. He'll find everything in you that he needs to find to make sure you can receive his love, and you can dispense his love, and you can be a vessel of his love throughout the whole earth and for your whole life. And I thank you, God, for doing it for me every single time. I thank you, Lord. And I just say to you this morning, will you respond to the love of God? That's my challenge to you. Will you look for those opportunities, wherever they come, to just respond to his love and to make sure that you're not hindering that love. You know, you don't have to worry. Look, you're not big enough to keep somebody from being saved. You need to get that. You may make a mistake and you may not say the right thing, but you're not big enough to keep God's love away from them. He'll just do it a different way. But I want that person to be me that dispenses the love of God and the mercy of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.